Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
One of the nominees for this year's Best Documentary Oscar had me and audiences sweating buckets, watching through our fingers, even though we knew the ending. It's National Geographic's Free Solo, which follows climber Alex Honnold as he becomes the first person to climb Yosemite National Park's 3,000-foot rock mountain El Capitan, with no ropes to catch him if he falls. Filmmakers Jimmy Chin and his wife Elizabeth Chai Vassarelli filmed Alex with a team of cameraman climbers on ropes, all aware that one little mistake from them would kill Alex as he clings to the tiniest indentations, at one point debating whether to swing one leg out to get a toehold on a ledge or jump sideways.
In some ways, it makes more sense to do the big two-handed jump because you're jumping to a good edge, so there's actually something to catch. But the idea of jumping without a rope seems completely outrageous. If you miss it, that's that.
That's that. And Alex Honnold is in the NPR West Studios in Culver City. Welcome and congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
On both living and getting the nomination. And filmmaker Jimmy Chin, welcome to you as well. And congratulations to you and your wife.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. And Jimmy, I want to start with you because, you know, as we see, while Alex is training for this climb, this is a film that we're discussing. The climb, of course, first and foremost. But you filmed it. And you and your wife were very conflicted about that. Explain why.
Well, I think the main question for us was whether or not us being there filming him would make it more dangerous or more likely for him to fall.
Yeah. I used to work a lot with cameras, and you said you were conscious of something called Kodak courage, people who will do something because the camera's there they wouldn't maybe ordinarily do.
Yes. That was one of the central questions that Chai and I had to answer for ourselves, was whether or not we trusted Alex's decision-making process and how he would approach the climb and whether or not the external pressure of a production would push him to do something that he wouldn't normally do.
Or whether I see you've said somewhere, even, you know, dropping a lens cap.
Yes. Being that the climbing is very tenuous, I mean, if you knocked off a pebble even, you know, it could actually fall 200 feet and hit him just at the wrong moment. You know, there were a lot of different scenarios that we thought about and tried to kind of imagine all the different outcomes in order to mitigate the risk.
Yeah.
I think it's maybe worth adding that overall the production probably made it slightly safer for me just because, I mean, we're talking about Kodak courage, in a lot of ways I experienced the opposite. Because I was up there with my friends working on it so long, because there were people watching me, I wound up preparing more for the climb than I'd maybe expected.
Because on your end, Alex, you didn't want to put them in the position. I mean, I can't even, this is so hard to even say. You'd be dying right in front of them.
Yeah, I certainly was trying to avoid that. But but even more so, I was just trying to do my due diligence to some extent. You know, I mean, the crew was putting so much effort into crafting a great film. And so I was trying to do my share. You know, I was trying to make sure that I put in the amount of effort as well.
Yeah. And just to back to that thought, not that I want to belabor it, but, you know, too late, I probably already have. But Jimmy, you know, as you said, you would see him go through the frame.
Yes. Mm. I think over the course of 2 years of production, I think I woke up every morning thinking about the worst case scenario. That sounds really morbid, but I mean, it also is a useful tool to make sure that that doesn't happen.
Truly didn't think about it every day.
I mean,
because
I
certainly thought about worst case scenarios as well, but not every day. I mean, it has to be a balance of best case scenarios.
It was
scenarios,
weird. It was
scenarios.
Every day when I woke up in the morning, I had like this.
Well, no wonder,
you know,
it all seems
pressure.
So stressful for you.
Alex, now do you feel bad?
Yeah, now I feel bad for sure.
Well, let's talk about what we're talking about. We've set the stakes here, but Alex, free soloing, seeming to pull yourself up. Your upper body strength is amazing. Your fingers are amazingly strong. What's the appeal?
Yeah, it's interesting that you ask that because I think what's often lost is the joy of it, you know, the sheer joy and the movement and how, you know, almost playful it can be to climb a wall of that size and scale unencumbered. I mean, it does feel quite beautiful. And I think that at the heart, I've always loved the movement of climbing. And free soloing is, you know, in some ways the purest way that you can rock climb.
Yeah.
And so I spend a lot of time talking about the consequences, you know, facing death, those kinds of things. And those are natural questions, but I think actually the joy of it is why I free solo.
Because it's not like you're not looking, you're seeing where you are, this context of, you know, you're in the air. There are points on the mountain when it's just friction. There's some kind of friction between maybe a toe and the wall or a thumb and the wall. What does that feel like?
I mean, it feels incredible. I think you were just kind of touching on it. I mean, to be surrounded by air, to be in the void but still feel in control personally, you know, to take a situation that should be terrifying but then to feel comfortable, you know, through preparation, through hard work, through, I guess, self-mastery to some extent. Yeah, I mean, it feels incredible.
We learn a lot in the film about how you in particular may be more able to do this than the average bear because you have a special brain, apparently, where,
you do,
where it's been tested, and your amygdala doesn't really fire the way other brains do. That's the kind of the...
But I actually don't think that that's a unique feature. I think that's the result of 10 years of exposure in this space. I mean, basically, by having spent so much time free-soloing, putting myself into these positions, I think I've sort of desensitized my amygdala to certain types of stimulus.
And let's explain, because it doesn't fire up. So you're saying I had the chicken and the egg wrong. You're saying
exactly.
It's a result of...
Exactly.
So it doesn't fire up the way ours might when we get frightened or we're thinking we're not going to survive. Yours has toned down.
Exactly. I think that the level of stimulus in the test that I underwent is just not sufficient after having spent my whole life free soloing on big walls. You know, and it's hard to say what comes first, chicken or egg. I mean, maybe that's why I've loved free soloing so much my whole life is maybe, mm-hmm. you know, I am slightly duller in that response than average.
Is that, I mean, I'm wondering, you know, this idea that you're not frightened.
Well, no. So on the actual day of the climb, I wasn't particularly frightened. Though, I mean, I was still certainly nervous walking up to the base because it's still a pretty intimidating wall. It's very, very large. Yeah. But the thing is, I was very frightened for the many years ahead of time. And that's why I put so much preparation into it. That's why it was something that I dreamt about for so long and didn't actually do. Huh. And it wasn't until I spent 2 years working on it that it actually became a possibility.
Well, this is something that really impacted a lot of the people that I was with who are athletes in different ways. Every single inch of that climb, you would plan ahead and done over and over and over again on ropes.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. And that's what I felt like I needed to feel comfortable up there.
Yeah. Jimmy Chin, talk about the planning that you had to do.
There was a tremendous amount of planning and choreography in terms of shooting Alex on the wall. And, you know, over the course of 2 years while he's practicing, we're essentially also practicing how we're going to shoot it. So logistically, you know, there is a lot of matters that we had to deal with. It's a 3,000-foot wall. There's certain sections that are 1,000 feet down the wall, and you need to get a camera person 1,000 feet down the wall. Mm. You know, they're carrying all their camera equipment. They're building their cameras on the wall. It's a pretty significant physical task. We also wanted to make sure that on the day of the climb, there weren't a whole lot of decisions to be made. So we practiced shooting and figured out exactly how we wanted to shoot each section that was, you know, important to the narrative. Mm. But in terms of the producing, I think that the real challenge was kind of insulating Alex from the pressures of the production.
I want to talk about one other aspect of the film. Jimmy, your wife, Elizabeth Chai, not a climber, she was interested in the effect, Alex, that your climb had on a new girlfriend. So your relationship with her becomes a thread in this film. And there's a moment where she asks you if you would ever take her into consideration when approaching a climb. Let's listen.
Would putting me into the equation actually ever change anything? Would you actually make decisions differently?
If I had some kind of obligation to maximize my lifespan, then, like, yeah, obviously I'd have to give up soloing.
Was me asking you, do you see that as an obligation now?
No. No.
Oh.
Oh.
Yes, Asani's not going to be thrilled that that's the clip, but I mean, we had many conversations like that. I mean, it's hard to, we're still dating and it's, you know, we're 3 years into this great relationship, but, you know, we were in this new relationship and free soloing all cap is something that I'd been dreaming about for so many years that it just meant so much more to me than, you know, a new girlfriend's opinion, but clearly that balance changes over time.
Right. Alex, El Capitan, behind you, are you done?
Oh, we'll see. No, I mean, I'm certainly not done climbing. I'll climb my whole life. I love climbing.
But I mean, that kind of climbing, not just free solo, but the impossible.
I don't know. Honestly, El Capitan has just meant so much to me for so long. You know, it was worth it. we'll see if anything else ever captures the imagination for me in quite the same way.
Yeah. And again, Jimmy Chin, I'm just wondering, part of the film I love is when one of the cameramen, who I have such an affection for you, Alex, they all do, he turns around. He can't look through his viewfinder. He can't see a particularly difficult passage. He can't watch.
Yes.
And Jimmy Chin, I'm wondering, how about you? Were there parts where you just could not watch?
There weren't, because the directive I gave to the entire team, and which I felt like I need to live up to, was that you needed to stay focused on the task at hand. That was for the wall team. It was okay for Mikey to turn away because he was filming on the ground.
Yeah, and in some ways, I mean, Mikey had to watch the entire 4 hours of the ascent, whereas the crew on the wall, I would climb past him for a few minutes at a time.
Yeah.
But Mikey watched the whole thing, which is why he was horrified by the end.
Yeah, he couldn't handle it. He
was a wreck. But by the way, that reminds me, I did want more. Will we ever see that four-hour climb?
I hope so. That's what I want to see.
People have asked about it. Maybe someday.
Jimmy Chin, one of the filmmakers of the Oscar-nominated Free Solo, made it with his wife, Elizabeth Chai Vesarelli, and an unbelievable camera crew, Alex Honnold, the first person to free solo climb El Capitan in Yosemite's National Park. Best to you both. Thank you so much for talking to us.
Our pleasure.
And the IMAX version is in theaters now. Alex says it put him on the mountain, but I'd caution, it's not for the faint-hearted.